Amen. Well, good morning, Mount Ararat family. It is good to see you today. Welcome back. If you came last week to Easter for the first time, we welcome you here into what God is up to right now in this season in our church. And we are so grateful that you're a guest with us again here today. Hey, Fredericksburg, happy birthday down there. Pastor Andrew, we love you. We love what God is building down there through all of you, each and every one of you. Thank you for being on volunteer teams. Thank you for working in preschool ministry and elementary ministry and being a youth leader down there. You are making a difference, guest services. You are making a difference in all that's happening and what God is up to down there. And we are so grateful for your two-year birthday in that location today. What an awesome day. Well, listen, last week, I know we've already kind of celebrated. Last week was Easter, and we had an amazing 2 days here at Stafford campus, had an amazing time down there, also at Fredericksburg on Sunday, and then in the afternoon, El Monte, they had two services as well, and God just showed up every step of the way and just answered prayers, and we just got to see so many people that we haven't seen in a good long time. It was so good to be together last weekend for Easter. Well, today, before we get any further, I do want to pray about a few things. I know that as we are leaning into our people and listening into the hearts and the hurts of our people, many of y'all work in D.C. and up at the Capitol, and we got a lot of people that work in law enforcement and training, and we know that Billy Evans lost his life, and they're going to be remembering him this next week, and I just feel like as a church, because that's really close to our community here, it's something worth praying about. And as we pray about the work of what God is doing here with our church, even beyond, I just feel like we just need to pause right here before we go any further, and let's just come to the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to gather. And God, may we never take worship for granted as believers that follow after Jesus Christ. But God, we do live in a world that's hurting and broken. And Father, we get glimpses into that brokenness when moments of hurt and hate boil into life being lost. God, I pray for not just Billy Evans and his family, but I pray for the law enforcement community that finds themselves in an unsettled place. Would you fill in that space? Would you bring friends to them at this hour? And may anxiety and depression be pushed back so they can continue to lead in a healthy way. Father, I pray for our church as we have an opportunity to continue to reach beyond ourselves and to serve in Impact Week. I reach that hopefully we can show the world what your love looks like by allowing them to experience your love in a personal way. Bless all the variety of different projects, from helping the least of these to helping the senior population and even young kids in our community. Help us to be creative, God, in how we can serve as the church. And God, as we continue to grow here in El Monte and at Fredericksburg, may your presence lead, guide, and direct the way. Today, God, we're going to begin a parenting series. And I know we all find ourselves in a different place. I want to pray for that woman that's maybe watching today that has struggled with infertility, Father. May they not feel rejected as we talk about your love and your light in this area. God, thank you for the desire that you give to hearts, and people have a desire to be a mom and a dad. And sometimes those things are harder to come to fruition. May your grace be what we need today to sustain us as parents and as people, as children of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We are beginning a series today on parenting. But before we do, last week I had a conversation that we looked at with Pilate and Jesus. And I shared three circles last week. And some people asked, hey, where did you get that from? And I always like to share resources that I think can be helpful. This is a small little book that I just encourage you to go out and buy. It's called Turn Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. And Pastor Jimmy Scroggins put this book together. Matter of fact, my daughter goes to the church down there, family church, and this is her pastor that wrote this book. And I just feel like it's such a great tool to gauge people with what we believe about our faith. And so I would say it's a book you can read in about an hour. It's really quick, but I think it's so packed with practical things of how we can expose and share what we believe to be true about our faith. And so I just give that to you as a resource. But today we are beginning a parent series and we're calling it Kidding Me. So help me out if you're at either campus. Turn to the people around you and just go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Come on, ask that right now. It kind of has a tone with it, and I want us to have a little tone with it because parenting in a pandemic, it ain't no joke. I mean, some of us learned some things about our life, our parenting skills, and our kids that we never wanted to learn, right? Because we got baptized this last year with quarantines and staying sheltering and all these fun things that we've had to do. Listen to me. Can I tell you something about parenting? Listen, it's high responsibility and most of the time, low control. And not just low control, many times this year, low reward. And when you got high responsibility with low control, low reward, that's a recipe for burnout. We got to raise the reward because we can't often change the control part of that. But we got to lean in today because I think there's some things here God wants for us. So parents, since I'm putting you on the spot again, either campus, online, wherever you're watching from, can I ask you a question today? If we were to give you a report card, because that's what your kids get. If we were to give you a report card on this past year, who gets the A+ in the room today? Who needs the curve? Who needs the curve, right? Come on. I don't want to see an F there, but listen, sometimes we feel like F, right? Listen, as you look around and see other parents like you, let me go ahead and set the table straight. There are no perfect parents. Come on, there's freedom in that. There are no perfect parents. We're all a work in progress. We all have something to learn and to grow. And no matter what stage and age your kids are, because you realize you never stop being a parent. No matter how old they are, you never stop being a parent. And I want you to kind of understand some things today because I believe every family looks different. Every family looks different. You might be married today with us. You might be divorced. You might be living together. You might have biological kids. You might have adopted kids. You might have foster kids. You might have a blended family. Every family is different and unique. And what I want you to see today, whether you're a parent, whether you will be a parent, or whether you're just simply a son and a daughter, or better yet, you're a child of the Most High, right? We all have something to learn as we walk through this series together. I would affectionately say, this is an all skate. Everybody get on, come on. We're gonna learn something together if we're willing to learn. But in the same breath, I'll go ahead and confess this. Parenting is hard work. I said that, parents, can I get a witness? Parenting is hard work, it is. And Mrs. Anonymous once said this, if it's gonna be easy to raise kids, it never would have started with something called labor. Is that not true? God was forewarning you in the beginning, right? In the beginning. So today, we're going to be in a place in the Bible that you're going to read and go, this is a familiar story. I know this story. And I'm thinking, why are we in this story today? But Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to begin. And we're going to begin in verse 11. And what I love about this story today is this is how Jesus is describing what God is like. This is Jesus describing what God the Father is like. Pay attention to that. Here he goes. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided up the property between them. Now let's pause for a minute because Jesus is telling the story about a family, a father, two sons, and this younger son demands something. Now can I just ask a question to help us to think biblically today? When do you normally get an inheritance? After someone has died. So don't miss that in the detail in the story. This son is basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. Matter of fact, I don't want you in my life. I only want what you can give to me. Matter of fact, give it to me now. I want it now. Divide my inheritance up so I can go on my way. Y'all with me yet? There's tension in this family. There's tension in this story. I want you to feel the rejection that father would have felt in that day. Now, in ancient culture, this would have been very embarrassing too, because everybody would have witnessed what was going on when this son got what was his early and was going on his way. Now let's pick back up. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and he set off into the distant country. There he squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out as a citizen of that country, and here was his job. Come on. He went to the field to feed pigs. Come on. He got so desperate that he longed to fill his own stomach with the food, with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. Now, this is where this gets lost on us, because most of us are not Jewish. We don't understand some of the detail here, but this is a crowd that Jesus was in front of that day, telling this crowd, this Jewish crowd, this is what God the Father is like. And everybody in that crowd that day would have realized that this son, this younger son, is now sitting in a hole that his own choices have put him in. He's gotten so low that he's now face to face with what? Pigs, come on. This is a culture. They don't eat bacon with their pancakes. Come on. They don't put bacon on their cheeseburgers. Y'all with me? Come on. They would never order a BLT. They didn't have ham at their Easter. Why? Because in the Old Testament, it said that pigs were dirty, filthy animals, and it wasn't kosher to eat an animal with a split hoof. And so they were living faithfully, and yet this guy, oh, he got himself in a mess, and now he's face to face with dirty animals, and he's wanting to eat what they're eating? Are you feeling the tension yet in the story? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Watch this. It said, though, when he came to his senses, I like that sentence. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna set out. I'm gonna go back to my father, and I'm gonna say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me just like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. Now, you might be thinking, what in the world are we doing in the prodigal son's story on a day where we're talking about parenting? What does the prodigal son's story have to say anything to do about parenting? Well, here's your first thing to write down, is parenting is relational. Parenting is relational. And I love that Jesus is putting this, who the Father is like, in a family relationship, because parenting is relational. Listen, growing a relationship where love and forgiveness is involved is important to understand. It's important to understand that it's hard sometimes to be in relationship. Why? Because we got to come to the conclusion and confess out loud again that every parent watching in this room today, every parent down at Fredericksburg and online, listen, here's the confession. We are sinners. And guess what? We have invited our kids into our family, and our kids are also sinners. Am I surprising anybody today that I have parents that don't always do it right? I have kids that don't always do it right. And it's a messy combination when you have sinful people leading sinful people. Can we just all agree there? This is part of the dilemma that we find ourselves in. Yet, as sinners that surrender to Jesus being Lord, Christians that surrender under the word of God, all of a sudden it can put our family in a whole different context. That's good news. That means that things can be different under the rule and reign of Christ. Yet this is where we've got to understand, because this is good when we start to realize that parenting becomes sacred when we realize that Jesus can baptize diapers, dirty diapers, that Jesus can baptize, come on, toddlers throwing a temper tantrum, that Jesus can baptize the sulking, silent teenager that's not getting their way. That God can use and redeem all of these things where we fall short. Come on, kids, you think I'm picking on you? It can also redeem an angry, wound up parent that's going loud and large and in charge because they feel like they're losing control. There's grace enough for all of us at the cross. And we've got to realize this as we come into this theme of parenting. In other words, having kids isn't about us. It's about Him. And we got to put Him first. Come on, somebody believes that this morning. Somebody believes that. Maybe I'm just preaching to Fredericksburg today. Come on. Because we're playing tennis up here a little. Come on. Can I just talk to you for a minute here? Today's parenting mistake, and I actually have Easter egged it in every title that I'm going to give you over this series, and I put it in this title today. Here's a mistake parents make. Here it is. We won't let our kids fail. That's the title of today's message. We won't let our kids fail. Now, right behind that, let me give you two temptations of what we do as parents to show how this is going to connect the dots for us today. Number one, we prevent failure. We want to try to prevent our kids from failing. We try to get in the way. We don't want them to experience the hurt of failure, right? And then right behind that, we protect them from consequences. Yeah, come on. Listen, can I tell you, if there's an anchor verse in the Bible for us as parents, here it is. It's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Now, I had to go King James on you today because NIV just doesn't cut the mustard here. Because it gives us a better word that I want to lean in today. I don't know if we fixed it yet. Did we fix this verse yet from last service? Yeah, we went KJV. There you go. Listen to what the Bible tells us, parents. It says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's what I like about KJV. It says train. Can I tell you, when do you arrive at training? Never. You got to keep training. Come on. If you're not living, you're dying, right? You got to keep working. And this is the hard part of parenting is it doesn't stop. We got to keep working. We got to keep training. It's not a one and done. It's a process that takes time. And over time, we can continue to grow in this parenting together. Listen, the purpose of parenting is to prepare our children for life so they'll be ready and strong enough to lead themselves. And when we are training, here's some outcomes that I want as a Christian parent. Maybe you can relate to this too. Here's what I want. I want my kids to have a deeper faith. I want my kids to have stronger relationships. And I want my kids to make smarter decisions. Is there any parents in the room that would be the desire of your heart too? Anybody? Come on, you want your kids to what? You want them to have a deeper faith, you want them to have stronger relationships, and you want them to make smarter decisions, the wisdom that comes in knowing who God could be in their life journey. I like what Paul says. This is kind of one of those verses I lean in on a lot. Colossians 1, verse 10, he says, so that we may live a life worthy. That's the goal. Live a life worthy of the Lord. Please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, but also being strengthened with all of His power according to glorious might, so that you may have, and look at these two words right here, come on, you may have great endurance and patience. Listen, this is why we got to let our kids try some things, right? Because they need to endure. They need to know how to endure. They need to learn how to be patient. They got to learn how to wait on some things. Listen, there's some things here that we're training, that we're trying to train in our kids that are valuable, but sometimes we're the ones that need the training. Come on, let me say it this way. When we prevent failure for our child, for our teenager, for our young adult, we are holding back their effort to try. And we need them to try. Listen, when we hold them back, it hurts their motivation to actually excel. Now, let me give you, stay with me for a minute here. This got me in trouble last hour, but let me give you this. One of the reasons this happens is we're living in a culture that's obsessed with safety. Hello. Now, listen to me. We live in a culture that values health, safety, and protection over growth and development of our kids. And again, I'm not trying to get into our current day. I'm not going there. I want to back up beyond that because listen, I'm not a crazy guy here. Listen, hang on there with me a minute. I'm not anti-seatbelts. I'm not anti-bike helmets. I'm not anti-locks on the doors. No. I'm just saying when we attempt to protect our kids from pain and disappointment and mistakes and rejection, we can actually limit the growth that they need in their lives. How many of us, when we look back at our lives, those growth moments for us is when we went through something incredibly hard and painful? I mean, that is the reality. So why would we want to hold that back from what our kids actually need for their lives? Now listen, just think with me for a minute. When our kids are young, we're letting them begin to explore the world. Can we just say this? Our kids need to learn how to ride a bike. Our kids need to know how to climb up tall ladders and slide down slides. Our kids need to get on monkey bars. But we take those things down now, right? Because we're afraid our kids are gonna get hurt, right? But can I tell you, you know why your kids need to explore and do those things? Even if it involves skinning a knee, eating some dirt, or God forbid, breaking an arm, it's because they're gonna learn some things about themselves as they do those things. And again, I'm not trying to be pulling back too far here, but I'm just trying to say these are the things. But too often as parents, we jump in way too soon when our kids are struggling through something. We jump in way too soon when they fail a test, fail a class. We jump in too soon when they don't make the team or they're not the starting position. We jump in too soon when they don't get the job. We got to let them feel it a little bit. We got to let them work through it a little bit. But we're living in a culture that's obsessed with bubble wrapping our kids' self-esteem. And we don't even realize that we're hurting. We're hurting our kids from falling and failing and moving ultimately forward. Listen, I know we live in a culture that values self-esteem, a sure safety. We spend a lot of money to give our kids a head start in sports and in art and in music and things like that. And I don't think these are bad in themselves. But I wonder, while we're busily giving out participation awards and trophies, right? And we always pick on this generation talking about that, but the kids didn't buy the ribbons and the trophies. Hey, parents, we gotta look in the mirror. We gotta take some responsibility. And maybe the real reality, before we call this generation a snowflake generation, maybe we need to look in the mirror and say, have we made our kids our trophy? Where we need them to look a certain way because it reflects on us. I can't have them failing. And if they do, we gotta hide that stuff because what will people think about me? Come on, can we see this? Can we go there? Because I'm wondering, as we look here at the pages of this passage where Jesus is saying, this is what God the Father is like. He gives this room for his son to try. He gives his son a reason to face a setback, to face some failure, and to face a consequence. Parents, we can't protect our kids from consequences. Now, let me go old school again for a minute. Kids, I'm gonna let this up in a minute, but think back to your childhood. Come on, all you adults in the room. When you ever got in trouble at school or scored something low at school and the teacher had to reach out to your parents, what in the world did that mean? I don't want to go home because you knew when you messed up, it was going to be doubly hard at home, right? We just always had this. Now listen, but here's what you learn. Again, I'm not advocating abuse at any level, so there's extremes to everything, but I'm here to tell you what I learned is I'm going to have to get it in gear. I'm going to have to get back at it and try again, but I had enough adults that were going to be with me and walk with me, and as I got back up and tried to do it again, eventually I'm going to press through this because I had people that believed in me. I'm not saying every parent today has fallen on the other side of the fence, but we're living in a day where a lot of times when a kid gets in trouble at school, that parent's going, that's not my kid. And now all of a sudden, for the first time, it's not this alliance with teachers. It's more of a, hey, we're going to be together. And maybe it's because parents are tired. Maybe it's because they feel guilty with their kids and they want to kind of be a friend to their kid or whatever. But all of a sudden now, the kid knows, I can let this thing ride out. And one of these adults is going to make an excuse, and I'm going to get off the hook anyway. And all of a sudden, what have we done? We've removed the reality of the decision, the choice, and all of a sudden now, they're not feeling the consequence of this moment. Now listen to me, parent, it is tempting to choose short-term peace and end up with long-term trouble. And the flip of it is, if your kid messes up, give them a short-term consequence because it will lead to long-term benefit. Your kid needs to experience the reality of decisions. That's why they're with you still. They're still growing and learning. Give them room to try. Give them room to try, even if it allows them to fall. Now, let me time out just for a minute here because I know as I pushed hard. Listen, I'm going to sound a little contradictory here, but I know as we parent our kids, it depends on the age and the stage that they are. But you're going to parent with boundaries. I'm not saying there's no boundaries at all. When your kid's a preschooler, you're still keeping them from running into the road, okay? Come on. There's still boundaries. And as they get to elementary, the boundaries get a little bit bigger. When they get to middle school, you're going to give them a little bit more. And when they get to high school, you give them a little bit more. When they get to young adults, you're going to get... Listen, it's always going to fan out based on the age and the stage. But let's make sure it's never so smothering that the kids aren't still moving forward and trying and failing and falling at times. It is okay. It is okay. Listen, in this story that we're looking at, the son is not a preschooler. This is not go off and live wild living preschooler. This person is a young adult. Now, we don't know exactly the age because Jesus didn't give us that. We just know he's the younger of the two brothers. He's the younger of the son. And as I was looking at even the details of that story, that here you've got this younger son that bows up on his dad, and in ingratitude calls his dad out and says, "Give me what's mine, dad. I wish you were dead," right? Now, can I just ask a question on both campuses, man to man today? Any fathers, did that just kind of rile you up just a little bit? I know for me, when I read that, I kind of go, oh, no, that ain't happened to my, you know, does that anybody go there? It's like when your authority's being challenged by your child, your kid, it's like, oh, no, you know, I mean, there's something about that. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should never confront those things, but can I tell you this, as a man, how many times can I go ahead and confess that when I've gone head to head sometimes, I can fight and I can win the argument and I can crush the rebellion and I can prove that I'm in charge and I can distance my kid's heart. Because sometimes it's trying to get into control that I take control that I realize I lost the real battle. Parenting is relational. And if you're going to lead in your home, you're going to lead with your heart. Come on, you can win the argument, force some right behavior at least temporarily, and lose the relationship in the process. So how do you let your kids continue to see your heart and the love and as you lead them? Listen, in this story that Jesus is telling about the father, he loves his son enough to let him make some choices that he knows is going to hurt him. He gives him the room, not just to go make the choices, but the consequences of those painful choices. But then the son wakes up in the pig pen, and what are some lessons that the son learns in the pig pen that he hadn't learned up to this point? Because when I think about the relationship, the first person he thinks about when he's in that mess that he's gotten himself into, who's the person he thinks about? Come on. His father. He's thinking back to home. He's thinking about his father. And he's saying, man, what did I do? And all of a sudden, guess what he's thinking about right now? For the first time, he's ready to take some responsibility for his choices. He's taken some ownership of his consequences. And he even comes up with what he's going to say. He's going to ask for forgiveness. He's going to confess and repent and say, I've sinned against God in heaven, and Dad, I've also sinned against you. Hey, parents, you want a blessing? Watch your kid live out a pattern of confessing and repenting. Man, there's something beautiful about humility when our kids own a mistake that they've made. But how do they learn to do that? By watching you and me. When's the last time you had to come back to your kid and go, oh, I messed up. I got emotional. I said some things. I did some things that don't match up with my faith. Please forgive me. And when is the last time? Man, listen, as I say that out loud, I'm going, oh. I hope my kids aren't watching today. I'm just thinking, oh. Because when you're tired, come on, pandemic parents. A lot of times you let your emotions lead versus your faith. And all of a sudden you begin to realize, oh no, parenting's about the relationship. It's about leading the heart. It's about leading the heart here. And there's something at stake here. Because what I want for my kids is deeper faith, stronger relationships, and smarter decisions. And they got to see that in me, and we got to experience it together. Listen, if I'm going to parent my kids, I got to connect with my kid's heart, and I've got to lead my kid's heart. You know what I want as a Christian dad? I want my kids to love the Lord and know the Lord and walk with the Lord. That's what I want for my kids, because if they're doing that with Him, all these other things fall into place. It's the faith piece that's so key to me loving and leading. But the truth is this, is that we all at times sin and do things our own ways. Like last week, we all choose to walk away from God's design and to do it our way. And when this son chooses to go his own way, the father allows him at that stage to go. But the full weight of the decision is also ongoing. The son, he falls, he fails, but then he gets up and he fights to go back home. Watch how the story goes. It says, so he got up and he went to his father. I kept hearing that song from Easter, run to the father, right? But still, while a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. You see, it's always been about love. It's always been about compassion. It's always been about relationship. This ancient father on the front porch sees his son and he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him. He kissed him. The son said to him what he rehearsed. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put the ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. Let's kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and now he is found. And so they began to celebrate. Hey, parents, at times parenting is going to be disappointing. At times parenting is going to wound us. It's going to frustrate us. But then there's going to be those moments. There's going to be those little glimmers, those little breakthroughs where because of that relationship with your child, that joy is going to flow in a way that you can't experience any other way. And all of a sudden, it's that moment where you realize how graceful, how merciful God has been to you. When I thought about parenting, I have learned so much more about my faith in being a dad. So much more about what I long and want for my kids that sometimes they don't understand at that place and they pull away and they hurt me and I think, man, do I do this to God? And God says, yeah. There's so much I've learned about trying to lead my girls to become women after God's heart. And then on top of it, God decides to put my nephew in my life 3 years ago. And we're now raising him. And I've learned some lessons with Eli that I never have learned up to this point. And I wonder, is God trying to grow me and teach me some things? As I'm training, I'm being trained. Does that make sense? As I'm training, I'm being trained. Listen, the process of parenting is one of the most spiritual formative journeys for a man and a woman to undertake, because the journey of caring for, raising, training, loving children will train us. And I'm just so grateful for God's endurance and patience with me. And I hope I can just have a little ounce of that as I'm trying to love and lead my kids as well. Spiritually speaking, we need to raise children every bit as much as they need to raise us. We're raising each other, aren't we, in a lot of ways? Let me give you something real practical before we walk out of here today. Four thoughts. And I put in there, when your kids fail, but kids, if you want to strike through that and put when your parents fail, because it's going to be the same. We're going to let each other down from time to time. But here we go. Here's something practical. Number one, no matter how hard it hurts, don't make excuses when it happens. And right behind that, number two, help them interpret what just happened. This means you can't be an absentee parent. You got to be present so that you can be there, that you can feel the weight of the mistake or whatever happened against them, and you can help them to interpret why and how we're going to move through. You want to get real vulnerable as a parent? Share about your life with them. Because just chances are there's a struggle that your kid's going through that you go, oh, I remember walking through that same struggle. I got a daughter in her freshman year, and she had her first semester, and it was hard, like a lot of freshmen. And, you know, as a parent, it's like, come on, do you want to stay at this college? You better get those grades. And then I thought back to my first semester. I went, oh, yeah. Notice I didn't put my report card on the screen today. I have to be humbled enough to say, hey, let me share with you. That first semester is a tough one, right? But you know what? You got another semester. You get a chance to get back up again, try again, and let's see where this can go, right? And the last thought is this. Give them love and belief no matter the outcome. That's that present part of being a parent, is they're not earning your love. They're not earning your attention. No, you give that generously and graciously, just like God gives it to you. And you just be there with them with love and support, even when they're working through maybe a trial in their life. Anything helpful today? I know it's kind of a setup today, just kind of big picture today as we're moving into the details later weeks. But I'm going to ask both our worship teams at both campuses to come back up as to lead us kind of in this time of commitment. But before we do, I thought about a verse that shows up in the Old Testament right in the middle of the Ten Commandments that God speaks over Moses and Israel that I want to speak over our lives today. It's this verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, where it says, how we show love, showing love to thousands of generations. Come on, that's just not you. That's just not your kids, but the next generation, the next generation. How do we show love to 1,000 generations? By loving me, God says, and keeping my commands. When we love God and we live for God, it shows the next generation what God is like. That's a promise for us today in the Word of God. Now, I want to do something commitment-based today because I know how a sermon on parenting can feel for a parent because we start doing inventory of all the ways we've messed our kids up. And the enemy would love for us to walk out of here under the weight of guilt and mistakes. But listen, we've already said this. Your kids are going to try some things and they're not going to always succeed. So when they fail, what are you going to do? You're going to help them grow through it. So if right now you're feeling some mistakes, good news. God wants to get you up and get you moving forward in it. And so I want you at both campuses, if you're there, to just get up if you're a parent. And I don't care what age and stage your kids are at. They could be grown and gone, but guess what? They're still your kids. Would you stand just for a minute? Would you stand just for a minute if you're a parent right now in the room? How many of you parents would say, parenting is hard work, and some of you are already at that grandparent phase, and you're like, I'm a better grandparent than I was a parent, right? But sometimes the responsibility is not as great when you're not raising them in the daily, right? The reward is higher when you get to send them home, right? Yeah, so part of it is that value. But listen to me, parents, your kids never stop being your kids. They're always going to be your kids. I don't want the enemy to use this sermon against you because this is a word that's for you. This is a word that's for you. It's to lead to freedom. Find God, find life, find freedom. But maybe what the Holy Spirit is doing today, he's putting a light in some things that you're gonna need to maybe surrender to him, to trust him some more in. Trust him. Don't push back because you've fell down. Lean into him. Because good news, we get another day. We get another moment. We get another day to lead through our hearts. Parenting is about relationship. You know, I was thinking about this theme, knowing we were gonna talk about the prodigal son story, and I kept going back to something that happened about 3 Sundays ago. After I preached up here on a Sunday, I left here and I went and watched a high school baseball game. Travel ball, had some friends that were friends with, their kids were playing, this one, some was pitching. And so I said, oh, we're gonna come down. And it was being hosted down at the Fredericksburg Nats Park. It's a brand new stadium down there, it's beautiful. And so I went down there in that afternoon, Pam and I, as soon as we walked into the ballpark, I see a longtime friend, Coach Lopez, the head coach at Mountain View High School. He sees me and he goes, Pastor Todd, he was screamed it out. And he said, come on over here, man. And he came, he put his arms out like this. He said, heart to heart, heart to heart. And I just kind of came in and leaned into him. He grabs me and he pulls me close and he's patting me on the back and he's holding me for like 5 seconds and 10 seconds. And I'm like, is he gonna let me go? And he's like, heart to heart, Pastor, it's so good to see you. We just need to love on each other for a minute. I'm like, wow, okay, you can let me go now. And so he broke, and we sat down a few seats away. And sure enough, a few other people he recognized, and he called them out, and he did the same thing. And after the game was over, a couple of players that he was there watching that day, they come over, and he does the same thing. He grabs them and says, heart to heart, guys, heart to heart. And I'm watching this and going, man, that's powerful. The power of love, the power of relationship, and the power of just connection. Now, to give you a little bit of context, Coach Lopez has been in our community a long, long time. 2 years ago, Coach Lopez lost his 24-year-old son. His son battled addiction issues, and his heart finally gave out. Coach Lopez, he struggles with addiction issues too. So it wasn't just his battle. He watched his son battle with something very similar. But what's so beautiful to me about that, here's a man that's made some mistakes, that has a past, that's experienced loss in his life, and he is recognizing how grateful he is that he has another day of life, that no day is guaranteed, and he wants to make sure that every person he meets has a heart-to-heart to realize that they matter. Can I tell you today, when I saw Coach Lopez do that, I thought, that's what the father is like when he runs to that son that made his decisions and was sitting in the bed of his consequences. And he said, come on, you get another chance. Heart to heart, heart to heart. Parents, listen, I know we run fast, but I hope there's not many days you're not pulling your kids close. I don't know when's the last time you had that heart to heart hug. Hey kids, can I tell you? You need to initiate that. Your parents would love that, to get that heart-to-heart from you too. There's something powerful in relationship. Parenting is relational. And what I love about the God in heaven today is he assembled us the Sunday after Easter, and we're here on campus together at Fredericksburg here in Stafford. And I'm just wondering today, if somebody in here today needs a heart-to-heart from God the Father, somebody needs a heart-to-heart from Jesus the Son, somebody needs the Holy Spirit to wrap around you and your mistakes, to love you in your hurt and your separation and your pain and your sin, can I tell you there's a God in heaven that loves you today. Don't miss his love today for you. Come on, Easter is just as true this weekend as it was last weekend. Don't miss the relationship God desires to have with you, because that relationship, it changes everything. So parents, on your feet. Father God, I thank you for these men and women that are standing, because God, I know we don't always stand with courage. Oftentimes we're standing in a place of defeat. But not on this watch today, God. Today, we're gonna be empowered with the love that you desire for us to be standing in and walking in. Thank you, God, for loving us, even in our sin and mess. Thank you for forgiving us and blessing us with the kids that we're responsible for in our life. God, would you bless every parent today to walk out of here with new fire, new energy, and new love, God, for their responsibility of being a mom or a dad. God, would you help them to have some heart-to-heart this week? And God, for that one person today that needs to begin a relationship with you, as soon as this service is over, may they come to the prayer room and say, I need a heart-to-heart from Jesus today. Would you help me do that today? God, lead us in these moments that we sing this final song. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.